I wonder if I asked you the question, what the word treasure meant to you, what it would evoke in your spirit. Last week, I was downstairs with the kids in Sunday school, and I asked them what the word treasure meant for them. And it might have been that Halloween was right around the corner, but they seemed to talk about eye patches and a treasure chest and gold and gemstones and all that kind of thing. I don't think you'd have the same response. But in my working here at the church as a minister and also in my opportunities to talk to people in different places like the hospital, I often ask, what's your treasure? And it never ceases to amaze me that the phone comes out and the pictures start to flow. It might be a grandchild or a cat or a dog. Sometimes you'll get that sports car, but not very often, but every once in a while. And I think all those things are admirable. Things like family and taking time to make memories. I even hear stories about how people used to have this great physical prowess and were sports athletes in different places where they threw the winning touchdown or whatever it might have been. There's often people that tell me about their education and how they had to work hard to get that or their occupation. And I'm always blessed when someone tells me about their church family, how they really are touched by their church family. And I'll admit that a lot of those things are the same things that I would call on the top of my list. But the thing that always surprises me is when I look at how people live their lives, and sometimes I have to admit how I live my own life, how those treasures seem to sometimes be put on the back burner because we're so spinning all the time and doing all these activities that we forget to really take time to encourage or to do the things that we treasure. We think that the temporal things, we have to do them quickly because they won't last, and we forget to really realize that there are things that will affect eternity that we should be spending our time and talents on. Instead of living just a life that kind of is mediocre where we're going through the motions, we really need to fill our lives with things that bring abundant life to us rather than just the temporal things. We need to start to think about spending our time and our talents and our treasure, our finances, on things that aren't fleeting, but things that actually have a lot of lasting impact. So I question then, why do we do this? Why do we allow this busyness, this roller coaster, to kind of make sure that our treasures don't really get put in the right perspective? Why do we allow the busyness of life to take over? Well, I've had a lot of people say to me, well, you know, I have to make a living. And I'm like, I understand that. I have a job. In fact, I have more than one job. Probably too many. But anyway, we have to realize that no one on their deathbed has ever said, boy, I really wish that I spent more time at work. But yet we spend our time working ourselves to death. And it's not that money isn't important, that we don't need financial well-being, or that we don't have to work at our jobs to get ahead. I understand that. But I really think that we need to take into perspective that sometimes we just get caught in this cycle and we forget about our perspective. We only have one physical body and we need to take care of that. We have talents that we aren't supposed to keep for ourselves, but we're supposed to share with the world. That's why God gave them to us. And we have finances. We're blessed with finances and we need to start prioritizing how we spend them. Do we spend them on things that might give us a little bit of a thrill for now, or do we really put them in places where they can do significant impact for the eternity, for the mission of God? We need to start setting some healthy boundaries about what we do, and rather than just kind of living through life and allowing God's blessings to really be part of our impact in the world so that we serve as his hand and feet. We are to be his image bearers in the world. And if we don't live authentic lives, there's not going to be anyone who wants to do what we do. They don't want to see what we have. Last week, Pastor Mark shared a little bit in his sermon about how he overfills his life, that he stuffs it so full that sometimes it crushes out the things that give him real life. He said it was a life that was full or overstuffed rather than a life of abundance. And there truly is a difference. And his sermon actually did remind me that I need to do some of that myself. In fact, it reminded me of a story that I have from an experience I had not too long ago. I was coming back from New York City where my daughter is doing an internship, and I was visiting her for the weekend, and I had my daytimer. And for those of you who don't know what a daytimer is, it's a paper calendar that we used to carry around a long time ago. It was actually on the front seat of my car, and during my moving around, it fell onto the floor of the passenger side. And I had stopped at the roadside stand to get a bottle of water, and I thought, I'm going to be smart. I'll get that big old bottle of water rather than the little one. So during my travels, the top of the water bottle flipped off, and I was trying to stick this large water bottle into this little cup holder in the front of my seat, thinking, okay, this is fine, until I hit a pothole. And then everything went to, well, it fell over, and it dripped all over my daytimer. Now, if you know me, or you might think I'm a little crazy, but everything in my daytimer is color-coded. So every activity has its color, and every person has its color, and I use colored markers to do this. Needless to say, when that water fell over my daytimer, I pulled to the side of the road, opened it up, and saw this beautiful watercolor mess that had no words in it anymore. And I almost was brought to tears. How am I going to make it through my day without knowing what I'm supposed to be doing? And it was then God said to me, prioritize and get rid of some of the things on your schedule. You aren't showing where your treasures really are by your schedule. So I'm reminded of that as well today in the words that Jesus taught us in Scripture, and I'm going to be reading from our gospel, which is the Gospel of Mark. But while I do that, I want you to do something for me as well. I want you to take a minute to think about things, ponder these things in your heart. Where are your treasures, and where do you store them up? Are they in busyness and doing things in the temporal world, or are you actually storing up treasures that will linger for God in heaven? Our scripture reading from Matthew 6, 19 through 21 is found in your bulletin if you'd like to read along. Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not store up riches for yourself here on earth, where moths and rust destroy and robbers break in and steal. Instead, store up riches for yourself in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and robbers cannot break in and steal. For your heart will always be where your riches are." And this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask you today to speak to our hearts as we ponder your words that we heard in Scripture. Allow our hearts and our minds to be open to your teaching that you have prepared for us. And help us to be touched by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So in my life before I worked in ministry, I actually was in the business world. I came out of college with my bachelor's of science in accounting and wanted to take on the big city. So I went to New York. And I worked for an accounting firm who gave me the choice of either being an auditor or going into the tax department, and I chose to be a tax accountant. For 4 years in New York City, I worked in the accounting firm and back here in Central New York for 5 years after that, doing people's taxes, both business and personal, and then I transitioned into becoming a financial analyst. And I always say, if you want to know where someone's treasure is, look at their bank statement, or better yet, look at their tax return. I was privy to a lot of different information and a lot of different documents that told me a lot about the way that people lived their lives, how they spent their time, how they used their talents, and especially how they spent their money. There were cars and homes and travel and education and children's expenses and businesses, and sometimes people even accumulated several spouses, but that's a conversation for another day. And whether they realized it or not, the treasures that they said they had didn't match up with necessarily the treasures that showed on the paper in front of me. I was often saddened when I had a client who would come into the office and talk to me about how they were searching for this great way of life, this happiness, this joy, and I couldn't quite tell them that they were searching in ways that didn't seem like it would bring lasting joy. They were accumulating things or continually on that fast track, as they called it. And a lot of times, even we think about it, our physical bodies and our material possessions, we sometimes don't use them for the purposing that we really should be. We only get one life, and yet we seem to spin out of control half the time, using our talents and resources for perishable things that are here on earth. This morning, Scripture tells us that Jesus advised his disciples, and I believe still advises us today, that we need to prioritize. We need to make sure that the things that we say are our treasures are actually the things that we put our time, talent, and energy into. They actually are things that have purposes beyond this world. Maybe it's filling in people's life or making memories with our family or things that are going to live on past when we're gone. And I believe that Jesus wishes to bless us because we are his beloved children. He doesn't mean harm for us. And everything we have and everything that we are comes from God. We have love from God who gives us our time and our talents and our resources. But this was never meant to be a way of accumulating things or hoarding things or keeping them for ourselves. In fact, I believe that the way that we're supposed to do it is we take a little bit of what God blesses with us, to us, and gives the rest out. When I used to teach my children and I teach Sunday school, I always talk about God giving to us with open hands rather than closed palms, so that the flow of heavenly gifts comes to us, and some stay in the middle of our palms for us to use, but a lot of them flow through our fingers out to the other people in the world that we should be helping. That's what God means for us to do with our blessings, not to keep or hold on to or make sure that we have enough, but to understand that we do have enough and that God gives us the opportunity to be good stewards of what he gives us, both of our blessings and our resources, our times, our talents, and our finances. We weren't given them for ourselves. In fact, in the very beginning of Scripture, when God talked to Adam and Eve, he told them to be good stewards of all that he had made, of all of creation. That didn't mean they were to control it, or they were supposed to lord over it, or they were supposed to in some way make sure that they had enough before everybody else was taken care of. Instead, it was a symbiotic relationship where everything worked together for the good. So we give and we receive. So we are a part of something bigger than ourselves, and we're not solely dependent upon ourselves, but we're interdependent upon one another. That way the world benefits all people, and we are in relationship with all people. It was a command not to hoard or to keep for ourselves, but to be benefactors, to be stewards, to be helping other people do what they need to do with their time, talents, and gifts. But in order for this to happen, in order for us to understand this interdependency, there's two things we need to understand. First and foremost, it's that we must trust God, that he is our heavenly Father, and he is the one that meets all our needs. Sometimes we live in this society where we think we are the ones that make our success, or we are the ones that bring in our goodness and our gifts. And really, if we do that, we're totally off kilter. Because it's truly God that we need to trust, that he will make a way for us, that he gives us the blessings. And secondly, we have to understand that things on this earth are not going to last forever. If you think about it, I'm sure you can think about things when you were younger that you just couldn't live without, you had to get. And then once you got them, they either went away because they weren't of importance anymore, or they rusted, or whatever it was. We sometimes get in this perspective as human beings that we misdirect our priorities. We think the things, the immediate things, the things we want right now, the things that are for me are the most important things. And I can understand it because we live in a society that tells us we need to be self-reliant. We need to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We have to depend on us because you can never trust anybody else. But that's not what God teaches us at all. God teaches us to love one another, to serve one another, to depend on him, and not to think that we have to do everything in our own power. We're always surprised, aren't we, when we don't have what we want and someone else helps us with that need, but God knows before we even need it and brings the people that we need to into our lives. We're taught as young children, especially in our society, that we're supposed to serve, try to be the best, to be the best thing we can be, to be the smartest and the best at sports, or to be the most competitive. And really, that doesn't get us anywhere. We are supposed to be living lives that keep us interdependent. As followers of Christ, we're called to look differently than the world. We're called to know that earth isn't our permanent home, that we are dual citizens, both of earth and heaven. And so we need to realize that our citizenship and the things that are important are really eternal and not temporal. Every week, we pray the Lord's Prayer. And I often wonder, do we really hear the words, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Those are God's words. Those are Jesus' taught words to us that he prayed to God the Father God's will be done, not our will. God's kingdom come to earth. And that's what we as children of God should be doing, seeking forth to make those things happen, reminded that it's God's kingdom that's the most important and not the things on this earth. We need to understand that we have a responsibility that we don't see through our own eyes because we're human and we're frail. But if we look at things through the perspective of God, through his eyes, we understand that everything we have is a gift. Our life, our families, our occupations, our education, our homes, and you add to that list, everything is a gift from God. And everything in this world can go away in a matter of an instant. But if we do the things that God asks us to do, see things through his perspective, stop following the foolish things of this world, and try to do things that have eternal circumstances, consequences, we will have enduring value in our lives, and our lives won't be just wasting time, but they'll be abundant. So think about the things that God might be calling you to do. Maybe he's asking you to act like a Christian in areas that you might be afraid to walk in, or build up your own character through his love. Maybe he's asking you to reach out to your neighbor or serve one another. There's lots of opportunities here, both within the church and outside these walls and different organizations, to truly serve the other. Maybe God's asking you to build your faith in him so when the hard times come, you can rely on him and not be wavered in the difficulty. Maybe God's asking you to be an encourager, to build into someone else's life beyond your own family or even within your family, to be a mentor, to be someone who gives someone else hope. I know he's asking all of us to seek his kingdom, to seek what it is he has for us to do, to seek ways we can touch others through the talents, time, and treasure he's given us. And all in all, he's asking us to build up the body of Christ, both within these walls and outside these walls. So the question then becomes, are you a partner with God? Are you using your resources, your time, your talents, and your treasures, your finances in ways that change things for eternity? Or are you just kind of spinning your wheels and going through life? God wants to bless us to be a blessing to other people. He wants us to open our hands up and allow the blessings he's given us to pour through out into the rest of the world. But in order to do that, we need to adjust our focus so our desires become his desires. So our time management makes sure that there's room for him in it so that our finances touch others and aren't hoarded up for us to buy things that we think we need when really we don't. We need to invest in God's kingdom in eternity so that when we're no longer here, our investment has still made a difference. If we're willing to surrender our heart to God, he's able to do great things through us, and he will never, ever, ever not come in for us. In fact, I live by the verbiage that you and I will never, ever be able to outgive God. When we give, God gives us back abundantly. I want to conclude today's sermon with just a little quote from one of my favorite theologians, C.S. Lewis, and no, he's not just the author of The Chronicles of Narnia. He wrote lots of other books as well. It's a short verbiage, and it says this: aim at heaven, and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth, and you will never get either. Let us pray this morning together. Gracious God, we thank you for all the blessings you give us. We thank you for your son Jesus and his willingness to suffer and die for us. We thank you for the grace that covers our lives. We thank you for our health and our families. We thank you for our time and our talents. We ask you to help us prioritize and to set all things in the proper alignment so that we can be true servants of you. Help us to be image bearers as we walk in this world, so that others might know who you are through us, and help us to truly serve one another in a relationship that is mutual beneficial, so that all people might know that you are truly in control. Let us surrender our wills to yours, so your kingdom does come to earth. Amen.